Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Alyssa Sarvinsky. Alyssa teaches at Eureka High School in the agriculture department, but has a long background with agriculture in Humboldt County because your mom and dad own the Corn Crib and Sarvinsky Family Farms. What was it like growing up in a farming family?
Well, I grew up on my family's dairy in Ferndale, and we milk about 150 now organic cows. When I was younger, they were non-organic. We were conventional dairy, and we were members of Humboldt Creamery. I feel very blessed to have grown up in that lifestyle. It was a lot of work, and we had to wake up and do chores. My brothers and I were in charge of a lot of things, and I think from a young age, you learn what responsibility is, and I feel like I've carried that through my life, and now I can kind of hopefully try to pass that on to my students that I have, even though it's a lot more difficult when you don't grow up on a farm to understand that level of responsibility.
And now, what were some of your chores that you had with the dairy cattle?
From the beginning, I had to feed calves. So my mom always fed calves when we were little, and we would be out sitting in the buckets waiting for her to get done. We had a crib that was inside the milk barn that we would be put in while my dad was milking. So from when I was probably like 7 or 8, I would say on, is when I had to start feeding calves, bottle feeding and then bucket feeding calves until I went to college, basically. Changing irrigation pipes, scraping manure, pitching manure in the storm sheds, things like that were our regular jobs.
And then down in Pepperwood, you had the Corn Crib. So that was kind of the summer thing, was this added in addition to all your other duties, working down there to raise a produce garden.
Yeah. So when I was a little kid, my grandma owned Pepperwood when my grandparents used to farm there in the 60s and 70s. And so when I was younger, my grandma owned it and we farmed it. And my dad has 9 brothers and sisters. And every 5 years, they took turns being in charge of it. So when I was little, probably from 6 to 11 was our part when we were in charge of it, and we went to all the farmers markets and everything. And then after that, my uncle took over, and we just kind of traded hands until finally, when my grandma passed away, it was for sale. And so my dad bought his brothers and sisters out, and now we've been farming there for the last 8 years or so. Okay. And selling at all the local farmers markets. And then we have the Corn Crib, the stand that's down in Pepperwood.
Some of the best corn I've ever eaten in my whole life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, that seems like having that background would help you to really connect with young people getting involved in ag.
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting to me because growing up in that lifestyle, now a lot of my students have not had that lifestyle at all. And so I feel like I bring a lot of life experience to the classroom, even though I am still relatively a young teacher. So I have that background that I can fall back on. And with that lifestyle too, knowing a lot of people in our community has been really helpful. So I can go to a lot of different people for assistance. Next year, I'm going to be teaching a new class. It's called Ag Soil Chemistry, and I have to collect soil samples for the students to analyze from all over the county. And every farmer that I've talked to has been really excited about it and wants to participate. Whereas if I didn't have that background, it might be a little bit more difficult because they already know me. And
now, not all of your students, though, have a background in farming. They don't have a family farm that they came from. A lot of them were raised in more urban environments. What sort of a percentage are we talking about?
So we have about 320 students at Eureka High School that are involved in the agriculture program. There's 3 full-time ag teachers, and 1 student lives on a farm. Actually, he doesn't even live there. His family owns a farm. That's it. There's only one out of all the students in our whole program. So there's a lot of interest, and the kids want to be involved in agriculture, but actually growing up on a farm is very much a rarity.
What sort of challenges do you think are facing youth who are considering a future as a farmer or a rancher?
I think overall, the cost of land. So if a student wants to start their own business, my parents are first generation farmers, even though my grandpa had the farm in Pepperwood. He had passed away before my dad had really started or got into the business. And so my dad went to Cal Poly, and he was working at the Cal Poly Dairy, was paid in cows rather than being paid in money. So when he graduated, he had a small herd that he brought back up here, and he rented a dairy. Now I don't think that that's really a possibility for students. The opportunity to rent a farm and actually make money is getting farther and farther away from reality. And so if a student wants to be involved in agriculture, they have to be innovative and different, not go with the norm and try new things. And I think that is the biggest challenge, is the cost of land and the cost of doing business.
Yeah. And the average age of the average farmer is pretty far up there. Mm-hmm. And that's concerning for those of us who want to eat for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
You know, we want farmers to be young people who are up and coming and happy to be going into that line of work, and to know that they're facing these challenges is a little disconcerting. Yeah.
I feel like I beat the dead horse in my classroom with that information, because I'm constantly reminding students that they should buy local, or at least try to. I think the cost, we always do like a cost analysis of buying produce from the grocery store versus buying produce from a local person. And so the opportunity is there, but they're not really aware of the shrinking of our food system. And so that's something that I try to bring awareness to. And it's a challenge,
kids
aren't used to it, and their parents aren't used to it. They're not thinking in that way. And so to get them to start to think in that mindset is difficult.
It's difficult because you're up against really this corporate machine that really spends, you know, a way lot of money to try to convince people that the only way to buy is to buy through their corporation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the family farmer or even the North Coast Growers Association is up against a huge battle, you know, with not as much resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think people would be surprised at how much they want to participate in the local food system. And so that's something that I just really try to push. And that's something that is maybe unique to a lot of other ag programs in other parts of the state.
I think you're right. I think we really do have more of a sense of what is going on in the food systems and the young people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also within Humboldt County and Del Norte County, you really have a team of people that are working in the agriculture area in the schools.
Yeah. Almost every high school in Humboldt and Del Norte County has an agriculture program. So there's an ag program in Del Norte, Arcata, McKinleyville, Eureka, of course, were the largest, Fortuna and Ferndale. So every single one of those high schools has a rich agriculture program that is composed of three main parts. And so those are the classroom portion, and then the SAE project, which is a supervised agriculture experience project, and then the FFA component, which is the leadership aspect. So if we can get a student to fall within all three of those areas, then we really feel like we've done our job. So all of the agriculture programs around here have a lot of support. And because we are so rural and far away from other programs around the state, we really work together. So the ag teachers in all of those schools work together to benefit all of our students, not just the students from Eureka or just the students from Ferndale. We work together and support each other in a lot of different ways.
Now, it seems like with technology these days, you guys can really stay in touch very easily. A lot of ways for you to be visible and connected in the community. Do you also have a web presence these days? And is that something that is helpful?
Yes. So we're developing a website. We received a grant along with some high schools in Sonoma County. It's called the North Coast Agriculture Partners Consortium, and it's a grant through the California Career Pathways Trust. And so we're working on a website that will meet the needs of people that are looking for their students to join our programs, either in our county or in Sonoma County. It has all of our business partners on it. We have a lot of different business partners that are members of our group. And so we're working on that, and that should be out in the fall for students that are interested. Each individual program has some sort of website, and then we also have a leadership team of students, and one of those students is the reporter. And at all of our chapters, they're all each called chapters, the reporter is in charge of the Facebook, Instagram pages. So one student is in charge of updating the Eureka FFA Facebook page and Eureka FFA Instagram and even Twitter. So all of those things the students are really love already, and they're really good at it. So they're in charge of each of those.
Great. Well, this is Jennifer Bell. It's been a pleasure talking with Alyssa Sarvinsky. Alyssa teaches at Eureka High School in the Agriculture Department. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Sure. Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.